He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hello, everyone. This is He Said, She Said, July 2016, and we are broadcasting from our lovely home here in Vernon, and today it's not too bad out, but it is July, and the summer is here. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting weather. It's tolerable for me because we've had a lot of rain, and then the sun comes out, and then it rains, and the sun comes out. So other years, it's like 30, 35 degrees. It's like too hot for me, but nonetheless, I'm not complaining this year. It's fine, except when you want to do an outdoor party, and you don't know if it's going to rain or not. So there you have it.
Yeah, well, you always have to have a backup plan, right?
Plan B.
Even though Arnold says no plan B. There's only one plan, and that's all you do, and you kill and die for it. There's no plan B.
Well, all right, then. Just bring an umbrella.
There you go. So what's cooking, dear?
Well, what's cooking is roasted garlic. Now, this recipe is on our website under articles, recipes. We've been going to a lot of potluck dinners, but I just thought I'm going to make some roasted garlic because the hosts did all the meat dishes. They did the roast beef, the smokies, and the chicken, and everybody else was to make salads and some accompaniments. So I thought, well, I'm going to make some roasted garlic. And boy, it was a hit. And it was so different because I've been to a lot of potluck dinners and nobody brings roasted garlic. So it was kind of a novelty as well. And, you know, a lot of people talked about it and a lot of people ate it all up. However, I did say, make sure you don't eat too much of that because it's so tasty and sweet and nutty flavor that you're going to want to eat a lot of it. But you want to make sure you don't eat too much. Like one bulb would be the maximum that you would want to eat, right? Otherwise, you can get a little uncomfortable. And I'm just going to say you can get a little uncomfortable, and that's about it. Now, you don't want to be uncomfortable at a party, do you? When you're in your own home doing your own thing, that's a different story. Eat as many as you like, right?
Well, I think everyone needs a good blowout.
Anyway, garlic is related to the lily family, which is kind of neat. And it's not only well known for food flavoring, it's one of the most seductive and satisfying of all seasonings. It's multifaceted. Whether you cook it raw in an extract form, it can be one of the most potent natural healing foods that we have. So a good dose of garlic, I mean, if I'm feeling under the weather, what I will do is take a tablespoon and chop up a couple of cloves of garlic quite finely, and then I just drink that down with water. Nothing could live inside of me, you know? Just so everybody knows, I just want everybody to know. Now, garlic is classified as a fever reducer or preventer. It could be a human body worm expeller. It can be a sweat producer. It can be a fluid excretion promoter, a bacteria inhibitor or destroyer. It really bolsters the immune system. It can lower the blood pressure, help to prevent heart disease. Well, at least some people do think that it can ward off the vampires and the insects. However, do you know, before I met you, honey, there was no before you, was there? But before I met you, I used to get eaten alive with mosquitoes. But now, since we eat so much garlic, they don't bite, they don't even light, I'll tell you. I mean, I might get the odd one, but the more garlic you eat, they just don't like it. They don't like
it. No, I don't think that's the garlic. I think that's just age. As we get older, we get more bitter, and our blood gets so bitter that even the insects can't tolerate it.
Funny. So anyway, what I do with this garlic, I mean, you can get elephant garlic. Elephant garlic is a little bit milder, but it's big. And what I do is I put the garlic, the whole bulb of garlic. You want to make sure that when you buy the garlic, that it's all uniform. Everything's about uniform size. They're not broken. There's no mold in them. They don't have any little sprouts out of them. So you want to make sure that they're all closed in and they're nice and white. I mean, they do have mauve as well, but get the white ones. And then you turn it on its side and you cut it. The flat part you don't cut off. You cut the tops off. So it exposes all of the garlic. You place it on a flat container to put into the oven, but you want to drizzle on olive oil on each bulb of garlic and then add sea salt and crushed pepper. And then you pop it in the oven on 400 maybe 25 minutes to a half an hour, you will smell it. Then you know it's working. What you do is take it out of the oven, and when it's really cooked, some of the cloves will pop out of the garlic, and you might have to push them back in again. But what I do is I take little tongs, and I turn over the garlic and so that the garlic that is cut is exposed, is put onto the bottom of the plate so it soaks up that garlic. I stick it back into the oven for maybe about 10 minutes, and then I turn it over again and take it out of the oven, and there you have it. It's nice and crispy, and it's just really delicious. But you do want to keep an eye on it. And let it cool, and then take it to your party or have it at home. When I do have some left over, I put it in soup or I put it into a salad. I mean, it never goes to waste, and it's just it's a phenomenal little treat to take to a party.
It really is, and it's really delicious, and I love it, and I always like it when you make it. I like to add it to whatever I'm eating as a side dish. It's just delicious and delightful. Here's something interesting. Garlic as we know it today is nothing like the original garlic. You talked about the lily family, and this is true for broccoli and asparagus. All these plants that we see today in our supermarkets did not exist thousands of years ago. Through plant breeding, which started at the beginning of the agricultural age, humans would select plants with desirable traits and then breed them with the other ones that they had certain traits. And so eventually they got bigger and fatter and juicier, or the color was changed. Just like with dogs. Think of dogs, which is artificial selection. Wolves eventually become the dogs we have today. That took about 50,000 years. So it's just interesting to know that when you go into the store and you're buying your food, you think, I'm buying natural food. But that was all produced artificially. It still is kind of real. It's still kind of from nature. But man's intervention has led to our food supply, even not without considering the GMO and the chemicals and all the rest of it. It's just kind of interesting.
It is very, very interesting. I mean, everything is like man-made now. But if you do have garlic odor on your breath, fresh parsley always helps. And to remove the odor from your hands, if you're working with a lot of garlic, just rub your hands with a little salt and lemon juice and rinse under cold water. But, you know, get more garlic into you. Use the raw garlic in the salad dressings, make roasted garlic, and just get some garlic into your blood. You'll be glad you did. But maybe your friends won't, but you will. But make sure everybody eats it. That's the key. Everybody's got to eat it, and then you don't smell it, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking also of Charlie Fox, our friend who passed away, and Mr. Garlic, right, and how he would rave and rant and spread the news of garlic, and he did that until the day he died and touched a lot of people. But what is wrong with garlic? I mean, really, other than the odor, which some people don't understand anyway, but it's just such a wonderful substance, and it beats anything that can compare to it in the drug world. It's just a wonderful natural remedy to take on a regular basis.
I think it's just a matter that it smells. I think it's just like, you know, when you go to restaurants sometimes and you order a big salad, they don't put onion in it. I'm always surprised when I love onions. So any kind of onions, love them. But they don't put them in the salads because people don't want to go back to work after lunch or to smell like onions. Maybe they can't tolerate onions either. Bring on the onions and the garlic. Those are the king and the queen, right? The garlic is king and the onions are queen. So get some king and queen into you. Get some royalty into your blood.
Right. Okay. And with that thought in mind, I guess we're finished with that one topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Well, last month's special guest was personal trainer elite, Mr. Andre Noel Potvin. Now, Andre owns and operates InfoFit, a school which is based out of Vancouver, and he's got about 3 locations now, which is really cool because it's becoming so popular, personal training and the education of personal trainers, elite personal trainers. And these personal trainers not only know how to train other people correctly, they also take care of themselves. And they also know a lot about nutrition. That's the new wave. And what else I found was very interesting is in order to keep their credentials up and also become eclectic in everything they do, they also learn how to do like kettlebells, or boxing classes. They learn how to do boot camp. They make themselves just so they just don't only do one-on-one personal training. They are multifaceted. They do a lot of different things. And that's what Andre teaches. Also, you can love the sport of bodybuilding and weight training and teaching people how to do it, but how do you manage the business of it? That's a whole different ball game. So this is what they do at their school, is they teach you how to market yourself, how to brand yourself, is what he says. So it's really interesting, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. And just to mention that Andre and I, and Andre is a great guy, and Della, they're just wonderful people. And I think like us as a couple, they're managing their business. They're ethical people. They are making progress. They're doing what they can to improve in every way. And so the PSN, which they distribute, I created as a classroom environment to act as an intro course for the CSNA. Now we've been working on this online version. This would be perfect for young kids, students, people that only have a certain amount of time, but they'll be able to access the PSN and get credits as trainers by going online and listening to lectures and doing the homework assignments and listening to the tutorials and reading the stuff, all online, 100% digital. So no longer do you need to go to a classroom, but you'll be able to listen to Seema, the naturopathic physician they have on staff, who they recorded all of her presentations and lectures, so we'll be able to listen to that. And that will be a great way, another great product that they're going to have available.
Right. And, you know, he talked about how do you pick a personal trainer? How would anybody know how to pick one? Well, usually it's word of mouth. A friend of a friend or somebody has knows somebody and they think this person's just fantastic. And that's usually the number one way you find out about a personal trainer. Or let's say you're in the gym and you're you know, hankering for a personal trainer just to tweak up your program a little bit. You take a look at this person. You look at their body image. You look how healthy they look. You look at their lifestyle. You look at how they train other people. You look at how they train themselves and how they conduct themselves. Andre said in his interview, he's seen personal trainers with a client texting. I saw a gal personal training somebody eating an apple. One gal that I was working with, she says, I was so turned off personal trainer, she says, because this guy that I was, he was my trainer, he was so busy looking around at all the hot girls in the gym. I thought that was kind of funny, but nonetheless, you have to be attentive. And, you know, you introduce people to each other, but, you know, usually it's a short amount of time. You're not with that person for like 2 hours at a stretch. You're with that person for maximum an hour. So, you know, usually it's pretty intense, the work that you're doing, plus you do chatting and you talk. So, you know, you want that person to be focused on you because, you know, it's a luxury, of course. It shouldn't be a luxury, but it is a luxury to be able to afford to have a personal trainer. And it does cost money, so you want to make sure that you get the right person to do the job and that fits you, your personality, because you are going to be working with that person for some time.
Couple things come to mind. First of all, you can go to the other extreme. Remember our friend who would put so much focus and energy on their student that they would completely disregard what was going on around them, right? In terms of, like, for example, let's say that you're a personal trainer and Arnold walks into the gym and or some other celebrity or maybe a great teacher that that person knows. And so I think it would be very wise right in maybe after the person finishes their set, says, hey, John, why don't you meet my friend? He's a great teacher, blah, 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 right? That's part of the culture of the training. And personal training is a social event. It's not just robots going through mechanical motions, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I met you in the gym. I met a lot of my really good friends in the gym. And so I do think there's some kind of camaraderie there that you want to, you know, say hi to people. And John, what are you working on today? I mean, you look like you've really buffed up a lot. Are you training for anything specific, right? That's how you get your clients to meet other people, because sometimes maybe they're intimidated by somebody who's got big muscles. But then you've introduced them to this person, and now when they're on their own, they'll be able to be friendly with them. So it is, I think that's also part of what they should be doing anyway. I mean, I totally believe in that. I don't think they should be, you train for 15 minutes and the rest is sociable. You got to get the job done. right? But there are times when you take a break that you can say hello to somebody.
The other thing I was going to mention, too, in relation to what you were saying, is that I remember Bill Phillips hired a personal trainer in his gym in the EAS heydays, and the personal trainer was paid a huge amount of money, like $100,000 a year, and his only job and function was to train the employees in the company for free, okay? Then I went to this gym in Germany, and there, and I think it wasn't the only gym, it was sort of a standard where personal trainers were there to train you for free, right? Now, they weren't there for free. They were being paid by the gym. So what about this idea? Look at professors in universities, okay? When you go into your class, you pay your tuition. That's like you paying your membership fee. You don't pay the professor extra money. The professor is being paid by the university. So what happens if a gym paid the professor, which would be the personal trainer, big money, and it was really prestigious to be a personal trainer, and you had to get degrees and reach this status like professors do in schools. And there wasn't just one, and there wasn't just a guy. It was a blended, co-gender range of incredibly well-trained teacher and trainers. But that was all included in your membership. That's how I think it should be.
So you'd have to bump up the membership, but that would be nice to maybe go once a week to a personal trainer and then go on your own two or three times a week. I would love that. I'd pay the extra money for that. But InfoFit now is accredited with a government sanction. It's an education provider. So the standards are really high, and he trains their elite personal trainers. But one of the things that is the new wave for personal trainers is really nutrition. That's the full meal deal, literally, to be a personal trainer. You need to know about supplementation because your clients are going to ask you. You need to know proper diets. You need to know how to analyze a diet. You need to know if your client wants to go into a bodybuilding competition, what do they need to do? So that personal trainer is a go-to person. It's not just they only know how to train you, work out, and you know, with weights. It's the whole thing. They need to know about supplements and nutrition, right? So,
well, that ties in with nutrigenomics, because now we know that food influences gene response and affects methyl interaction. You know, it's very complex, but not because food has been vindicated and is more than what we thought it was. Like, it's data, it's information, it affects cell signals, all this weird, neat stuff. And also, training in itself has very little impact on body mass and weight. Yes, you need the training to build the muscle, but fat management and body weight management is more about nutrition than training, right? That's been known for 100 years, but that truth has not been made known to the public until more recently now.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, if you're into being an entrepreneur, working your own hours, and being around an environment that is a pretty positive environment, training in the gym, it's a really wonderful environment to be in. It's the job free, or you have your own home gym, but you know, it's a great career path. You know, it really is. Or if you have another work that you do, and then you do this as a sideline. What a great little sideline. And, you know, to keep yourself in shape, it's a great way to meet people, make some extra dough, and, you know, really stay strong and fit and be around healthy people. So anyway, thank you, Andre. We really appreciate your input.
Yeah, and also this one, too. World travelers out there, why not get your personal training certification, become a CSNA, and then go travel around the world and work in different gyms? Wouldn't that be cool, huh? Go to one country and one city after the other, settle all up in advance, set it up on your internet, and then visit that gym and get a job making money and then move around. I mean, that's a brilliant thing to do. So personal training is definitely a great vocation and a great way to meet people and educate and teach people. So right on the money. Moving on, what's your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic for July is the Hollies' 25th wedding anniversary celebration. Yahoo, this weekend. So tomorrow, the 14th, is actually our 25th wedding anniversary. But on the 16th, we's having a big old party. Oh, yeah, big party. I know you're not too over the moon about celebrating you know, events like this, but I know you like the party aspect of it. But I think what it is, it's important for the kids to recognize, don't get me wrong, just because somebody's had a long marriage does not mean that they have a good marriage and a good relationship. So there is a difference, right? So, you know, I just believe celebrating one's anniversary, don't overlook it. I think it reinforces the fact that your marriage is a priority. My marriage is a priority, honey. An anniversary celebration also allows you to pull back from your daily grind and relive a moment that changed your life forever. Now, did getting married to me change your life forever, honey?
I think so. In ways,
choose your words carefully.
In ways that I have yet to determine, but instead of that word marriage, because you know my views on marriage as it is viewed conventionally, it means certain things to certain people. It has this connection to a distant past that I don't think is valid anymore, and I don't really ever think I really felt that. You know, the way it sort of strangles you and molds you and changes you because of what society and our culture says it is or isn't, and it's all changing, which is great. So it's more of a relationship celebration. I think that The degree of our celebration, the degree and the magnitude of the fun that we have, which we're going to have fun, is relevant to the quality of our relationship. I mean, if you're having a really good time in your life and you're getting along and you've gone through all of what it takes to get to where we are now, it is a great time to celebrate with your friends and people that matter. And of course, I'm really looking forward to having Michael and Daisy and Ruby all there with their spouses and children and the grandkids. That's going to be very special for me.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny how different wedding anniversaries have different, you know, like 5th is wood, 10th is tin, the 15th is crystal, 20th is china, and the 25th is silver. Then you get into the 30th pearl, 40th ruby, 50th gold, 70 years is platinum, well, 60 is diamond. Boy, 70 years of marriage, how old do you have to be? Well, 85, I guess, in those days, 85, 86. But yeah, so ours, we're celebrating a silver wedding anniversary. So I just think it's pretty cool. I just can't believe I made it that far. Yeah, I mean, in a way, I just can't believe I'm getting that older that, you know, now we have grandchildren. It's like, whoa, I still feel in my head that I'm only 20 years old again, and which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But we are going to have a good time, and I'm sure in our next SNU, we're just going to talk all about it. So what we're doing for this is because I decided that, I mean, I've put on a lot of parties and had a lot of dinner parties in 25 years. And I said to you, I said, I want to be a guest at my own party. I don't want to work so hard that I'm so exhausted, because usually it's a week ahead or 2 weeks before you're working to get this party sorted out. And by the time everybody leaves from the party, I'm ready to party. That's what happens, because I've been working the whole night, and I don't want to do that. So we're having Corey and Tracy's 25th wedding anniversary picnic, twilight picnic party. So everybody around 7:30 in the evening, we've got friends of a beautiful home with a pool overlooking the city of Vernon, and we've got beautiful lights up and seating areas. Everybody's going to bring their picnic basket, and in that picnic basket, they're going to bring their own party. And so I don't have to do anything. And my girlfriends are putting a cake together, so that's going to be fun. And one of my girlfriends owns a restaurant, so she's going to do a crepe bar, some beautiful chocolate dessert crepes, and, you know, a keg of beer and some bubbly, and we're going to just call it a night. And we've got a DJ and some great music, and it's going to be fun. We're going to really have a good time. We do have a microphone for a toast roast. And I told everybody to be nice. You can only say nice things, I said. But anyways, happy anniversary, honey.
Well, yes, same to you. And we'll see if we can hit another 25 years from now. 50 is very cool. The one thing I do want to mention that I was thinking about when you were speaking is the stress that is involved in a marriage for a lot of people. And it's political. It's the people politics. It's who should we invite, and we can't invite them, or we have to invite them because we're inviting them. And then you get this collaboration of of people, some of whom hate each other or want it done a certain way. You get, you know, in-laws forcing change, you know, all that stress. And so the institution of marriage becomes more important than the actual couple themselves. And so you and I never really thought that way. We had a very simple Hawaiian wedding and get together. And it started off as a celebration. And so here we are again having a party. And we've been partying all along our entire relationship. We've been, you know, in sports and exercise and workouts and traveling and our business. It's been really a lot of fun, don't you think?
Yes, it certainly has. We've had our ups and downs just like anybody else has. But, you know, I remember you always saying when the rubber hits the road, it's how you conduct yourself, right?
Yes, and the family that trains together. You know, I met you in the gym. We're still training in the gym together. Sometimes you go at different times and, you know, you've got your dancing. I've got my hammer. But we're involved in the game of life. We're playing to win, to be successful at being well. And we both share those same values. You know, we're into the health food. We're into the vitamins. We have a lot in common. And so I can see that a great marriage, a great relationship is based on continuity. It's based on sharing a lot of the same things and actually naturally being into them, not fighting about them and not forcing people to change, but two people that are just naturally involved in the same kinds of things. And so the chi flows, man, smoothly.
It sure does.
Good. So let's have a good party. And everyone out there, we hope that you will also enjoy your party when it comes time to celebrate your 10th or 25th and 50th. And don't be misled. I do think that this is an important event for everyone involved, including myself. So with that, what's your final word, dear?
My final word is by John Prine. These are lyrics to the song that you and I are going to do our little dance to. We're going to spite the noses right off of our faces. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize.